Here it come to order. Quorum being present, Senators Halford, Torgerson, and Taylor. First matter up is previously heard bill, that being House Bill 99, involving sexual contact with inmates. There are no amendments pending. The bill and personnel are here from Department of Corrections to testify and answer any questions if committee members have any questions. Senator Torgerson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move House Bill 99 from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to the motion? Any discussion? Record should reflect Senator Ellis has also joined us. The motion, Senator Ellis, is to move House Bill 99, sexual contact with inmates, from committee with individual recommendations.
No objection.
There being no objection, the bill moves from committee. The next item is House Bill 428, interest on child support. We have not had testimony on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Wilda Rodman. I'm staff to Representative Jean Terrio, the sponsor of this bill. HB 428 requires the Child Support Enforcement Division to pay interest on the return of overpayments of child support when the overpayment is due to a mistake made by the agency.
Thank you. Any further testimony on that bill?
And Larry Persley from the Department of Revenue is here to answer technical questions.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Persley? Senator Torgerson?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move House Bill 428 to committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to the motion? There being no objection, it moves from committee with individual recommendations. Senate Bill 201.
207, I think it's.
Senate Bill 207, I'm sorry, we should call that up. We have had previous testimony on this bill. It's a bill that provides for the enforcement of medical support orders for children. Mr. Persley, I'm not sure who's here to talk about that one. Elmer, you had this one for a while, I believe. I just wanted someone to be able to answer any questions should the committee have questions.
Can you explain Section 4?
Mr. Chairman.
No, I'm joking, Elmer.
I have a passing knowledge of the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Give us a brief synopsis, if you would, please.
The issue has come up where it's our desire to be able to establish support orders solely for medical costs without having to establish a cash support order at the same time. And under current statute, we are unable to do that. There are many situations where families have reached an agreement among themselves. They then might go on Medicaid, but there is no reason to establish a cash support order. So it simply made sense to us that to protect the state's interest to be able to have the medical support order, but not the cash support order if that was the desire of the family.
Does this affect copay any that would go on or possibly could go on?
Not to my knowledge, Mr. Chairman.
I discussed it too at length with Barbara, and it's primarily for those situations where they don't have an existing order outstanding as concerns child support itself, but they do need to have the opportunity to get reimbursement on Medicaid right now.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Anyone else who wishes to testify? Senator Ferguson?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 207 from committee individual recommendations.
Yeah, it has to go to finance yet. I have tomorrow morning. Is there any objection to the motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations? Okay, 201, DNA testing. It's also House Bill 294, I guess. Basically, what this does is this bill will allow for the taking of an oral sample, a Q-tip sample of DNA, when you have a person convicted of a burglary. We had limited, Dell, I was just starting into the bill. If you could give us a brief synopsis, we'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I assume we're talking about the DNA bill. Okay. The bill would expand the 1995 DNA law, which was only taking DNA samples from convicted offenders or violent crimes. This bill would expand it from violent crimes and include felony burglaries, for which a person convicted of a felony burglary since January 1st of 1996 would be obligated to provide a DNA sample for the DNA registry. It also changes the law to reflect the current technology where we don't need a medical person to take a blood sample. We can take the DNA sample with basically a swab from the saliva and use that as a DNA sample. And I'm certainly prepared to answer any other questions about it, but that's basically what the law does.
Thank you. I'd note also for the record, the American Civil Liberties Union has filed a document with us. It should be in each of your packets. Kind of looks like this. And I went through that document during the testimony phase that we had on, I think it was Monday, maybe Wednesday.
Wednesday, I guess.
And asked most of the questions, I think, that were found within that document and got testimony on them. Interestingly, the DNA forensic potential has, in about 30-some percent of cases, has been used to prove that people were not guilty of something. So it's a two-edged sword. It can either convict you or acquit you, and it has worked well on both sides of the ledger, and that's an important aspect also.
On that tone, Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, and I forgot to mention this the other day, there's a particularly troublesome case in Anchorage on a homicide that we've been working on for several years, and there have been a number of suspects, at least one I know, absent the DNA, that said he wasn't the one. Probably was a sufficient probable cause to arrest the individual, so I, too, am pleased that we're able to screen out people prior to intrusive arrest phase of things.
Is there anyone else who wishes to? Senator Torkson, right ahead.
Bill, Section 1, I'm not sure I like what we're doing here, but it says that you have to do this sample when requested by a probation or parole officer. Is that without a court order?
The court order, when they're sentenced, through the chair, when the court order is basically issued, that you must give a DNA sample at the time that they're sentenced. So the court has already basically spoken on it, and the statute said if you're convicted of these particular offenses, then you're obligated to give a DNA sample.
But does that say that in 1156-760? Before this, I mean, it doesn't say it in this section. This just allows parole officer to ask, or correctional officer, or anybody to get a DNA sample.
Right. It just adds to current lines. Right now, it's a medical person, which is what corrections has to use a medical person to take it from an individual in an institution. Given their budget reductions, and oftentimes there's not a medical person available, we believe that changing it to allow a police officer, a probation officer, or a correctional officer to take a swab would be much more efficient. I know that several times in the last year the prisoners have said...
That's not really the question, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What he was asking was, can one of these people just order you to do it, walk up to you, and the way I read it is, they can only order you to do it if testing is part of the sentence imposed under 1255.015, or you've been convicted of an offense that requires DNA testing.
Oh, yes, sir. If you're asking, can I walk up to you on the street and take a DNA swab, no. You have to be convicted of those offenses that fit under the statute.
That must be in the earlier part of 1156.
Yes, so that was passed in 1995, yes.
The next question I have is, why is there a retroactive date on the bill?
Yeah.
It matches, and that's caused, through the chair, it's caused some people lots of consternation. That matches the original date of the collection, starting the collection of the DNA registry. It seemed logical to start at that point. The conviction would have to be after that date, and there have been, presumably, a number of people have been convicted from that date of burglary, felony, and we wanted to try to go back and get those. Seemed logical at the time, but apparently a number of people, including yourself, have some concern about that, sir.
But you still have to have a court order.
You still have to have, they had to have committed offense, would be a burglary if this were to pass, that matched what the statutory requirement is, and part of your sentencing was that you had to give a DNA sample. We couldn't do it otherwise.
it wouldn't be part of the sentencing. That sentence would have already occurred.
No, you're right.
It would be solely based on paragraph 1, top of page 2, which says, no, it says as part of the sentence. The other, paragraph 2 is convicted of an offense that requires DNA testing. No, that's the wrong one, too. That's
my apologies. I have to
understood.
Go, and I was hoping you could get someone else in here to keep the quorum. But
understood. No, we just wanted to get the testimony out of the way on this one, too. Okay. Thank you.
Another governor's bill, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of support. Okay, the person commits a crime of violence in order to submit DNA. Okay, 1156-760. A person commits the crime of violating an order to submit DNA testing if, when requested by a healthcare professional. And what we're doing is saying, we are saying what?
Where did you find 1156?
I'm still on section 1.
Oh, okay.
Or when requested by. I don't see the connection to the court order. It's ordered to submit DNA testing as part of the sentence. Convicted of an offense that requires DNA testing. In this section, DNA testing means collection of blood samples, oral sample, or both. Violation. Okay. I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm better.
And then there must be an amendment here to 1255015 that includes. That's the next section
right,
down.
The next section
okay.
down. Right.
That's the next section.
Mr. Chairman, when the original bill passed in 1995 and it went effective in 1996, there were a number of individuals subsequent to that that said, nah, you ain't taking mine. So about two to three years ago, we amended so there was an offense for not giving it when ordered to do so. But that wasn't an original thing. And people were saying, I don't have to give one, and what are you going to do to me? So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I feel better.
Anyone else want to testify on this one?
Thank you.
Well, we moved free. We didn't get a sign.
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, you've heard my testimony previously. For the record, I'm Candace Brower from the Department of Corrections, and I just would encourage the committee to consider passing this bill, particularly with the expansion of who can take DNA samples because of our fiscal constraints for the Department of Corrections. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ask the owner to sit down.
Is that what I have? I signed that before he left.
What a nice guy.
We're still making motion.
Well, I think he didn't want to testify.
Oh, go ahead, Elmer. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, very, very briefly, the bill also, of course, would apply to juveniles convicted of the offense, and the department is supportive of this legislation.
Whose bill is it again?
Governor, if I recall.
Oh, okay.
This one we did pass out, 201, we never got a motion on. We came close.
Senate Bill 201.
We got Johnny's signature, we don't have a motion.
You had a motion on 201.
No, 207.
Do you have a motion on 201?
No.
We got three out of the way, or two out of the way, kid. I don't know if we got the third one or not. Wait, one, two, yeah. I'm still in session, so if you can find Mr. Donnelly.
He's in finance with his bill up.
Yeah.
I grabbed the wrong package.
Senator Ellis, go.
Oh,
which one do you want back?
207. 207, we did have a motion.
207, we had a motion on. It wasn't 201.
201. We've already got it signed. We just haven't got it moved.
Which one is it? The one that has to come to finance? That one you haven't moved?
No, we moved the one that has
nope,
to go to finance.
We moved that one already for you.
We're fine. Ellis was too busy on that next governor's bill.
Okay. Not my problem.
Mine neither.
Okay. 201 and 292. Yeah, sorry, Ken.
Ah, what the hell. I give the governor due pass. Are we adjourned, Mr. Chairman?
We are now. If you want her.
Thank you.